We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy. Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
Well, here's the text from my partner at 12:29 p.m., about a half hour ago. Aggravated back badly, slow moving, popped three Advils, hoping to get the station by 12:45, hashtag blessed. But he's here. Fitzy's here.
Ah! I can't believe I'm going to say this, Ken. I have never been happier to see you.
Oh, well, really?
Yes.
Was that bad at the home front this
morning?
You
want to know why?
What, how did you?
You're not my wife. You're definitely not my two screaming kids. It is toddler UFC at my house this morning, and I just couldn't take it anymore. Got to tell you, came pretty close to opting out. Came pretty close to opting out of today's show.
Well, you'd fit right in around these parts. Seven opt-outs? Boy, you set me up for that one. Seven opt-outs for the Patriots.
Seven.
By the way, I want to give you credit. This was a good week for Fitzy. Not only was he multi-talented on multi-day parts, you were funny on the morning show.
Thank you.
I hate to say it, but the Redicky bit was pretty good. And you were a reporter, Fitzy, this week. You nailed the Brandon Bolden opt-out, and you hinted at more to come, which has proven prescient, although I don't exactly know whether this was the guy you had in mind.
Twasn't. This came as a surprise when I reached for the Advil a little while ago and picked up the phone, saw that I had a text from, how do I have you in my phone? Bane of my existence. And no, that's Curtis. you're the other guy. By the way, thank you for changing your profile picture back. That's the one time Curtis got something right. You looked like horrible liberal prison Mike with the do-rag on your head.
I like the do-rag look, but fine. If people are against it, fine.
I love the Expos hat. The Expos hat says to me, like, solid. That's a rock-solid hat. It's a good choice. It's a throwback. It fits you fine.
Fair enough.
I look at you and I know, okay, this guy can talk baseball, which is all I need right now.
Which nobody needs right now.
What's all I need right now, considering the searing pain that I'm in. We got Reds, you know. Come on, Ken. It's a good time. So, the Marquise Lee thing completely caught me off guard because I had heard about three other players from the same source were considering and could be next. And I had hinted, and I sort of like slipped that out Thursday on OMF when it was Ordway, Merlone, and Fitzy.
Mm-hmm.
Not when it was Ordway, Mutt, and Fitzy yesterday. So many OMFs, so little time. I had heard that the McCourty twins were heavily considering it.
By the way, they have not come out clearly and said that they are playing, correct?
No, they still have until the 3rd, just like everybody else.
I thought it was the 5th. Actually, I thought it wasn't even set yet.
I believe it was till August 3rd that you had to opt out, you had to get your work in by end of day or like midnight, August 3rd. Now, of course, they had talked about it several times. They've hinted at it on their double coverage podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been on the radio station saying that they're concerned. Jason McCourty has been the more vocal of the two. Concerns abound between them. They just don't know what's going on. They've got young families. The Marquise Lee one, I wasn't sure what his family situation was, but I read his statement where he said, I believe, I told Coach Belichick, I just don't think I can give you what you deserve.
Ugh.
I can't give you 100%. I can't give you what you deserve knowing that my family is home worried about me.
Well,
that's tough. Why did that one happen? That's different than the rest of these guys who have won. Ken, what we've seen so far is 11 Super Bowl rings decided to sit out the season and defer their check and their contract to next season.
Right.
That makes sense to me. They have won. They've been to the top of the mountain. They've been back to the top of the mountain. They even went to the top of the mountain again. Maybe they stumbled once or twice from the top of that mountain, but they have been there. They have known that life. It would be fun to play with Cam Newton and see if they can get back there under different circumstances, but family first. If Marquise Lee is citing family first, I understand that. But a guy like him, coming off an injury, who needs that contract to be able to show that he can play at an elite level and to be able to get another contract to get a new deal next year, there's got to either be something rotten in Foxborough or this is worse than the rest of us are letting on and the Patriots know something everyone else doesn't. So what do you think it is?
Well, as you know, the bane of your existence, Chris Curtis and Tom E. Curran for a little while brought up the speculation, which they believe is fact or believed in Tom's case was fact for a while, that is Brady's non-presence, which has made all the difference. That if Brady were here, these guys would not be opting out. The fact that he's not here and the Bucs have had zero opt-outs leads you to think they just don't believe this team's a championship contender without him.
I just can't see that they see, yes, there has been significant defensive attrition. They lost their whole starting linebacking core at this point now. Hightower at least would have been the mainstay, but now a completely new linebacking core. You've lost some veteran presence on both sides of the ball. But if these guys honestly don't think, maybe the Patriots just have some guys that don't have the killer instinct. Could Tom Brady honestly be in everyone's ear down there saying, don't do it. Don't do it. You got to come on. Come on. I came here. I can do this. Look at me. I'm 43. You guys got to stick it out. I mean, LeSean McCoy, actually, not only have they not lost guys, Ken, there have been no Tampa opt-outs. They've actually picked up guys in the process with the 53-year-old bones of Shady McCoy, who's the second youngest running back behind 107-year-old Frank Gore in the league, to join the team this week.
But for you to say don't have the killer instinct, that is quite a charge. That is even worse than saying they would have stayed here without Brady. That's saying they're a bunch of pusses. You're saying Dante Hightower doesn't have a killer instinct.
He does. He's been there.
Chung doesn't have the killer.
Of course he does. Patrick Chung tried to play a Super Bowl through a broken arm. I'm talking about these next level guys like Marquise Lee. He needs this year. To prove himself.
Now, was he going to make the team anyway? We'll talk to Mike Reese about this at 2.
Mike Reese at 2, right?
Yep.
Okay. Can I have the first 5 minutes to talk about how great it was that he asked about the Subway sandwich?
Well, you're in the minority there. Well, I don't know. There was some Dave Green from NBC Sports was mocking the media, and I guess, Mike, you're directly for asking the Subway question.
I did a remix. We did a remix of the Belichick Subway sandwich commercial for you. We'll play it on the rejoin. I think Marquise Lee was the number 4 receiver. Because I think you're
really?
1, 2, 3. Although Andy Hart doesn't believe. Andy Hart, in his recent 53-man projection, had Sanu, Gonski.
The cap's not an issue anymore.
But you can carry over cap space. So if next year the cap goes from 200 to 175 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots have 24 million right now. You think somebody else, like a Marquise Lee or even undrafted free agent Jeff Thomas, can give you 75% of what you would hope to get out of Sanu this year? You say, I'll take the $1 million deal or I'll take the $400,000 deal over the $6.5 million. Then you get that money against next year's cap.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a lot of room to move next year when other teams are hamstrung. But Marquise Lee would have been the number 4 receiver behind Edelman, N'Keal Harry.
Edelman and N'Keal
Sanu
are the only two locks, right?
They're the only two locks at this point. Although I think now you can pretty much lock in Sanu that they're going to eat that $6.5 million.
Yep.
Especially if he comes in looking good because we know he's been working out hard, pumping out the hype and the hustle on the IG.
Yeah, he's going to keep his job based on those Instagram videos.
Now, 4, 5, and 6, they always keep 6 and they consider Matthew Slater a wide receiver. So the battle for 4 and 5 will be interesting. Of course, we're not going to be able to see it in games because they took out all the preseason games from us. But you're now going to see a battle between Demir Byrd, Will Hastings, Gunnar. Well, I know it sounds like I'm making these names up. This is like, here's a fun game, everyone. You guys want to play at home? Hey, Nick, you can play too in the producer booth. Nick Lepan. This is Red Sox starter or Patriots number 5 receiver. Demir Byrd, Will Hastings, Gunnar Olszewski, and Jeff Thomas. Oh, and Jacoby Myers. 2 of those 5 guys are now guaranteed to make the Patriots roster. And the rest will probably end up on the taxi squad. Because you're doubling the size of it this year as the COVID unit, if you will.
Myers, Byrd, and you misidentified the white guy in the Def Leppard shirt that was in the throwing video.
I thought it was Will Hastings, but it was Gunnar.
What a fail by you.
Oh,
God, worse than the back tweet this morning.
Wow.
Mr. Patriot.
I thought it was Will Hastings.
Got the white receiver wrong.
Now you're going to color shame me on that?
Pointing that out. So Gunner's in.
I don't see color, Ken. I'm colorblind. All I see are Patriots.
Okay, but you want my answer for what I think the real factor here is? I mean, yeah, it cannot be coincidence that you had seven opt-outs here and anywhere else is two the max everywhere else at this point. I mean, I know we have like 3 or 4 days to go. By the way, I still think it's August 5th. Volin was tweeting that. Players still have several days. Let's put it that way. But the factor, you've got to go back to Belichick. He's not fun to play with. Belichick's not fun factor is a major decision. I understand what you're saying. Older guys, fat and happy, won championships, mm-hmm. banked a lot of money.
Cannon has recovered from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Young babies.
Babies, health concerns, mm-hmm. all of that. But if it were a different coach, if it were Bruce Arians, mm-hmm. three or four of these guys would be playing as opposed to opting out. It's just not worth the grind of going through the camp right now with this guy in their mind. It's the
seven opt-outs.
You don't think is Belichick a factor?
So you think
the culture here it's a grind on top of the outside world's grind now.
Hightower, Chung, Bolden, they know what it is. I don't think they're tired of it. I think they kind of live for it.
Well,
I think
that's even worse. They're 10 years tired of it.
They've got 8 years, 10 years, 11 years. I don't think they're that tired.
You think Brady loved it after 20?
That's a different set of circumstances. Tom Brady is an international superstar.
Did Gronk love it after 10 or whatever he played here?
No. After 9 years? No, Gronk got tired of it. And his dad said in the most recent interview that continues to be sour milk in the stomach of Pats fans, he just wanted to see what football life was like somewhere else. Translation, I want someone to take it easy on me so I can grow a goatee, look like Bizarro Gronk, and have fun playing football again. What? But that Marquise Lee one throws me, Ken. I shoot straight, man. This is a guy who he needed the money.
If Wiggy were here, Wiggy doesn't think Cannon was a big deal, or Chung for that matter.
I don't either, because Adrian Phillips probably would have played as well, if not better, than Patrick Chung this year, because he's 34 years old.
I thought he was a special teamer by this point.
Adrian Phillips, yeah. No, he played great when he had to sub in, and he's an excellent special teamer. Patrick Chung, I think, has lost a step. That's why you draft Duggar, so he can draft on Patrick Chung and learn from him.
Yeah.
Adrian Phillips you sign because you bring him in cheaper than Daron Harmon. You save $1.5 million that way. I think they're still fine at safety. If the McCourtys leave, they're screwed.
Devin in particular. I mean, yes. Jason maybe
between
not
the
so much.
Two, between the two, you could afford, you could prop the last one that you on that defense you could afford would be Jason. If Devin leaves, mm-hmm. you're screwed.
All right, so simple question to start here on Laird and Fitzy with you until 4 o'clock. Mike Reese from ESPN at 2. Why do the Patriots have seven opt-outs? Another one today, Marquise Lee. What do you believe Belichick's a factor? Do you believe Brady's a factor? The environment under Belichick or not having Brady here, Curtis believes these guys would have been here. Wiggy doesn't think this all matters at all. You know, basically he thinks Hightower they basically have one opt out to Wiggy, and the six others you can write off as insignificant.
Oh my God, what's going on today? I'm happy to see you. I needed to get away from my family. I'm pharmaceutically engaged right now to manage my back pain, and now I'm agreeing with Wiggy. What world is this, Nick LePan?
But you don't think? I mean, come on, Marcus Cannon is significant. They have two backup tackles. This is your right tackle for Cam Newton, and the replacement is what? Corey Cunningham and Jermaine? Maybe move Tooney.
Jermaine? No, you wouldn't move Tooney because the guards are too important at this point now, especially with David Andrews back there. You need the center of that line to protect Cam Newton. Corey Cunningham. Hjalte Froholt is your backup guard. You also have Michael Onwenu, the sixth-round, 350-pound man mountain you took out of Michigan.
But talk about Red Sox rotation. That's concerned.
Yadni Kajust is in line to
Forgot
start.
Forgot about Yadni. Forget it.
Third-rounder from last year. Hopefully he's not the Antonio Garcia of 2019. Maybe the kid can actually play, but he was another red shirt. And then you have Jermaine Elmenor. You have Jermaine Elihu Schmales. Would you come and loofah my scratch marks? And Corey Cunningham. So the line's in transition now. Plus, you lost Dante Scarnecchia.
Okay, so it's a concern. So say Cannon matters. Pull a Wiggy and say it doesn't matter. Marcus Cannon's...
But the gap, though, between how much... Dont'a Hightower matters a lot.
Okay.
Marcus Cannon matters.
And Patrick Chung matters.
No, I don't think so. I'm okay with. Chung doesn't matter as much.
It's amazing, the spin that comes up.
No,
617-779-7937. Why do the Patriots have seven opt-outs? And Belichick talked for the first time yesterday, and he was asked the question, will there be any more? Here's what Bill had to say.
Yeah. Well, again, Phil, I think everybody's got to make their own individual decisions on that. And, they have to weigh their own situation. Each one of us is unique, and we all have different lives, situations, families, environments, and so forth and so on. So There's no two situations that are the same. Everybody will have to make their own decision on that. And, I have no way of, my crystal ball is kind of cloudy right now, so I have no idea what will happen along those lines. I think everybody in the league, every team in the league, every player, every coach, everybody in the league is involved in that, to some degree. And so we'll just have to see how it turns out.
I mean, Bill sounds happy, actually, bizarrely happy.
That was oddly diplomatic.
He lost. Bill Belichick, I tried to poke you with a stick on Twitter with this yesterday and got no response. Bill Belichick lost more games than the Red Sox this week based on these opt-outs.
What you meant? I didn't understand. I know that was the equivalent of a bear poke or like a Facebook poke on Twitter, but I didn't get
it. I thought I'd get a snarky response. Nothing. No. It was just crickets. But they lost. They went from 12-4 to 9-7.
I had a lot of Ordway to handle at that point.
12-4, mm-hmm. possibly, mm-hmm. to 9-7, based on these opt-outs. You lose seven guys in particular.
Seven!
Yeah. In particular, Dante, which is huge. As you point out, the whole linebacking core is gone.
That's not good, Bob. You don't want to lose. You don't want to lose seven guys, but you don't want to lose the captain of your defense, arguably your second-best defensive player, and your middle linebacker, who is an extension of your coaches on the field and has the green dot on his helmet. That puts a lot. I thought Juwan Bentley was going to be in line for a leap year in his third year on the team now that he got some good reps in last year. I don't know if he's ready to take on Dante Hightower's role. Those are some big boy pants he's got to put on.
I mean, Uche, the rookie's got to play. He's going to have to play more. The rookie has to play.
He'll have to play more.
Maybe
John Simon gets a shift over to linebacker, maybe off the end a little bit. You need Chase Winovich, who some people think could make a leap this year, and some people think he's drastically overrated.
Steve and Brian Belichick will both be playing.
I'm sure.
Coach player.
Well, if he gets off the cover of Nantucket Magazine. By the way, didn't he just look so comfortable? Ken, you at like a rap battle on 8 Mile would look more comfortable than Steve Belichick.
Freestyle. Don't. Now, the other big interesting thing from Belichick yesterday, I guess you guys probably played the whole thing on OMF.
Yeah.
But the non-answer on Newton, did I expect him to gush about Cam?
Did you think that was a non-answer?
Oh, it was a total non. It was a deliberate, I'm giving no enthusiasm about Cam Newton whatsoever when I'm asked about him. Here's the Belichick response about Newton and whether there's going to, what? Basically, tell us anything about Cam Newton. You signed the guy. How's this position going to work out?
Well, things worked out. We spent, quite a bit of time with Cam, and, he spent quite a bit of time with us. I think it was some, mutual interest, and spent quite a bit of number of different people and number of different conversations, and I think just trying to see how the fit would be. And it was very positive on our end, and I'm glad it worked out.
I mean, that actually was the best. He had two responses to Cam. That was actually the more glowing of the two. When asked about how basically he's going to coach up that spot is the same as all other spots on the team. We've got a long way to go. We'll see how things turn out. Can't control how players perform. It's up to them. Mm-hmm. We'll give everybody an opportunity and see what happens. I don't know. Mm. I mean, if you're Cam Newton and you're posting a new workout video a day, and you see that's the response from Belichick, are you like, okay, this is what I expected, or are you a little bit insulted?
Ken, we were all so shocked on the morning show last fall. Like I think every beat writer and Pats fan was when Belichick actually said Stidham, who he called Stid, was picking up a lot of the throws, the slack for Brady when he couldn't complete practice last fall because his elbow was hurting him so much.
Right.
Of course, but I'm the bad guy for saying Brady has tennis elbow. He's shown his hand fewer times than I have fingers on one of my two hands. He never shows his hand.
But in that case, his hand, as you brought up.
That was Brady. But that was Brady related because I think he wanted everyone to know that he was getting frustrated with Brady in town. And I think these were one of the many signs. Like we all could, there was so much handwriting on the cave wall that was pointing to Tom Brady leaving, but none of us wanted to acknowledge it because it just seemed so monumental and shocking. This is not a case where he's going to come in and go, well, obviously this is Cam's job and Stidham is just, going to learn from him and hold his water. I've got two Auburn quarterbacks. One of them I got on a great deal. It's unbelievable. Of course he's never going
to
do that.
Okay, but here's the non-answer. Now listen to this. I mean, he barely mentions the guy.
Yeah, well, I think, that spot's the same as all the other spots on the team. We got a long way to go and, we'll see how things turn out. I can't control how players perform. That's up to them. We'll give everybody an opportunity and, see what happens. So.
I mean, if I'm Cam Newton, I'm starting to think, if I don't know Bill.
It's like page 7 in the book of Belichick.
I guess you're right. I mean, you're right about that. It is exactly what you could predict. And as Ordway was sort of getting the spin from the team and saying this is an open competition, that's obviously what the team wants Ordway to think and to say on the radio, and so he does it.
Right.
So this is what you would have expected. But if you're Cam Newton and you're unfamiliar with the situation and you're ranting on Instagram about they've never seen this Cam.
Yep.
And you're posting a photo outside Gillette, and the coach in his first media avail says that, doesn't even mention you by name, will give everybody a shot and see what happens. I think I'm like, oh, boy. I mean, this is, which may be what Belichick wants. I don't know.
Oh, I mean, that's, to me, Cam Newton should be
But he
as
wants
far
to dampen the enthusiasm?
I mean, it's not about, first of all, Fourier said this a couple times, that he expected Belichick to try to play some of his classic evil Jedi master mind games with him. He will not give him ringing endorsements. He'll throw curveballs at him to make sure he's on his toes, to make sure that he expects the unexpected, because that's the way they do things here, that everything is earned, not given. So I think Cam Newton, if he has paid any attention to the way Belichick runs his team and how they do things in Foxesboro, that he should see that and go, that's pretty much par for the course. I'll show him. Cam Newton is not worried about the confidence others have in him. He's only worried about the way that people appreciating him, and most importantly, how he feels about himself.
Well, people appreciating him. This is unappreciating Belichick.
How many other teams? I think he knows the Patriots appreciated him, Ken. How many other teams offered
him deals?
Well,
they gave him a minimum deal with incentives.
But they still offered him a deal. Don't you think he's appreciative of that, even if it was a garbage deal or if it's underpriced?
He's appreciative if he's locked in to be the starter and he will earn those incentives, yes.
I think, you know, that spot's the same as all the other spots on the team.
Same as all the other spots
Vintage
on the
Belichick.
Team.
What else would you expect?
Well, that's what I would expect, but I don't know Cam Newton, and I don't know what he craves and needs. But
I'll set up a meeting.
To be respected. But everything we've heard and everything we've seen from him so far, he wants love. He wants adoration.
Correct.
He feels dissed by the Carolina Panthers in particular.
They kicked him to the curb.
He's holding it against the rest of the league that they passed on him.
Yep.
So this team that didn't pass on him is treating him like Brian Hoyer when he comes in. Like Lewerke, who they re-signed. You were thrilled, I know, this week. They brought in a fourth quarterback for competition.
The era is, but you're going to need COVID quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. I mean, you mentioned COVID before I did. It's not my fault. You have to look at all of this and think, is there going to be a season? I mean, you just do. Belichick said basically these first 2 weeks are going to be rookie camps and then they'll start practicing. But, I mean... How can you not look at the baseball fiasco of the non-bubble and more news on that today?
I know.
And start to think, how is this going to work?
We can only look at open and then handle so many cans of worms at a time. And right now we're trying to deal with the seventh opt-out, which we weren't expecting and has taken center stage. Mm-hmm. But how baseball has handled this to date, if they can last and the impact it's going to have on the NFL, I don't know if people are going to want to hear what we have to say about that, but it's early, Ken.
Yeah, well, Bob Kravitz wrote a thing about this in The Athletic, and I agree with him. I know he's probably not your favorite, being with the recent Kravitz Deflategate tie-ins, but I'll read a piece of that to you coming up. And I also think we should talk Celtics. It is one of the major stories of the day. They got back on the court, and Marcus Smart with some electricity toward the officials. And, of course, Giannis. So we'll get into that on the way. It's Laird and Fitzy with you until 4. You can reach us at 617-779-7937. ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese at 2. Here's what's trending.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI. $5.
Super Duper's. $5. Sandwiches. $5. Sandwiches. Everybody loves sandwiches, so just have to swallow it.
There it is, the fine work of Fitzy, at FitzyGMY. 2 million views as Bradfo's Anthem video got, or no?
Totally.
Not yet. Getting there.
Fitzy's always coming after my internet glory.
Fitzy is muscling through, a bad pun, on a bad back.
I have maximum dad back. I got to tell you, Ken, I got a buddy who went to a brewery and picked me up a coveted 4-pack of triple IPA, a triple IPA. Named after Larry Bird, no less, from Vitamin C Brewing in Weymouth, called
Triple
33.
Bird.
Beer's called 33. I don't give that 4-pack a chance tonight with the pain I'm in right now.
Do you give the NFL a chance to finish, and baseball for that matter? Get back to and get some calls on the Patriots opt-outs. We will get to there and the Celtics here in a second. But this from Bob Kravitz in The Athletic, and he starts it with saying, I want football. Because I feel like you do have to, if you talk COVID now, You have a certain section of people who, if you talk negatively about sports finishing, they lump you in with the Clay Travis Corona Bros, and you're just like a some bizarre media guy who doesn't want to see sports.
Well, yeah, but yesterday,
as opposed to looking at it from just an objective lens and say what an S show this
yesterday is. Yesterday, I got lumped in by Mutt of all people into the lefty loon bin.
Lefty loon, you don't even want football,
right? Like, oh, you're the one saying that it's going to be over. I saw your tweet earlier this week.
Right,
oh,
right.
You want it to be over, just like Kyle Brandt said.
But it's obvious bubble sports are working. Non-bubble sports, in particular baseball, is a total mess right now. We had more tests today, canceled games. We're up to 30, I believe.
How many more players tested positive today? And were they from some of the teams that have been so severely affected, like the Marlins or the Phillies?
Well, the good news were there were no more Phillies, and they're going to start working out again.
Good.
Which is actually interesting. Cattles brought this up. It's a sign that as bad as the Marlins were and as many infectations as they had, they played a game Sunday and no Phillies got infected.
That's a good sign.
So if you play outside and socially distanced, you're pretty much safe. But the bad news today, it was the Cardinals. Now, they had three of them were staff members. So at this point, I guess between 4 and 6 Cardinals have tested positive. Three of them are staff members. Okay. And so now they've shut it down. Saturday's game was obviously postponed and probably going to be pushed off for many more days beyond this.
Are there going to be a lot of those 7-inning doubleheaders to come. I'll tell you what, it's not the worst side effect of all these COVID cancellations right now.
One is definitely a player. Obviously, you had Manfred warning the Players Association yesterday that if this gets, he's trying to shake the bushes here.
Say, hey, buddy, listen, get it together, or we'll cancel this whole damn thing.
Right. Now, the only hope for the NFL is they don't travel as much as baseball. Maybe every team in every city can bubble on their own well enough that one road trip a year does not make that much of a difference. But if you have guys going out being irresponsible, here's what Kravitz writes: the NFL, of course, will not be played in a bubble, largely because it's a logistical impossibility. The testing, the protocols, all the hard work that's been put into reconfiguring the locker room and meeting rooms and the rest, that's all great. But these men go home at the end of the day, and while I believe the vast majority will take every precaution to remain healthy, many of them have children who will be returning to schools in short order. That's frightening, to say the least. Many have significant others, and heaven knows whether they've been exposed at one point or another. Maybe you've noticed, but the real world is a dangerous place. I mean, how can you argue with that? It's just you look at it and you say, I mean, maybe they can delay enough. As we've discussed, you have an outbreak, you just pause the season for 2 weeks and you push it off. You know, you pick it up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, but Ken, we hate sports. We want all these sports to be canceled. We want to have Greg Hill complain about sofas, couches, and dinners in the North End some more, because Lord knows it was sure a lot of fun to do 4.5 months of sports radio without any live sports. I want nothing, and I can't stress this enough. Next to a nanny who is filled head to toe with antibodies, so I can just get a little friggin' help at my house.
That's your number one wish?
Oh, number one.
Antibody nanny?
If her name was Antibody, that's what
nanny.
I want. I want Maxine the vaccine. I want Antibody the nanny to come into my house. Mary Poppins. I want Auntie Poppins to come into my house and save me. Short of that happening, which it won't, I want football.
Yeah,
I need football so badly.
But don't you
it's
want
my
those?
Favorite.
If they said we're pushing it off to the spring, and you get all 7 of these opt-outs back on your team, Patriots fan, how does that sway you? Does that entice you even more?
No, I take it this fall. I take it this. There's a way they can do this, Ken. It's just individuals. Now on the Patriots. Now with all these opt-outs, let me point to a potential positive.
Oh God!
Do you not believe that the Patriots are taking this?
Wait till Kyle Duggar gets some reps. Sorry, go
Nick,
ahead.
You want to finish the show for me?
I'm all in on Kyle Duggar.
Nick,
so
thank you. From Lenore Ryan. I used to know a girl named Lenore Ryan. She was fancy, dressed snazzy. Ken, my point is, if we're going to look for a Patriots positive, because I try to do that around here while everyone else is a death merchant swimming in the sea of negativity, a bunch of dementors working here. Here's the Patriots positive to take away from this. Perhaps they, among, if not over all other teams, are taking this the most seriously. That's why you've had a number of opt-outs. Maybe they have had, from Ernie Adams to Burge, Belichick, McDaniels, and the Crafts, many serious conversations about what this illness can do to you, the possibilities of getting it in season, what their protocols are. And
so
they've scared
the players.
Well, they've given them multiple opportunities to, like, if you play, here's what we're going to need from you. Here's what we're going to expect. Here's how we're going to help you out in case this happens. Here are our protocols. Here's what we're going to, here are the services that we'll offer to you. But if you need to get out, we want you to get out now because we either need you all in or all out.
I guess that's possible. I mean, I'm not going to say that's the most ludicrous thing I've heard. Belichick did ask, he was asked the question about whether, you know, the opt-outs. And here's his response. He was very supportive of them.
Yeah, well, I respect all of them. And I respect all the players on our team. We all have to make decisions. And I talked to those guys, and they explained their situation. And, you know, they had to make the decision that was best for them. And I totally respect and support it 100%.
And by the way, who was the absolute amateur hour who left the other microphone open so we had digital Belichick in the background the first 5 minutes?
But I thought Belichick would be seething behind the scenes at this, particularly Hightower and Chung. Like, are you kidding me?
Well,
you're bailing on us now. But that audio, if you believe it, speaks to a guy who's just going to move on to the next player, and he's not pissed off at all.
Nope. And he still has the first two guys he re-signed this season. The first free agent he went out and got was Adrian Phillips. But the first two guys he made a point of re-signing post Tampa Bay were Devin McCourty and Matthew Slater.
Do you think these guys tipped him off months ago then? Is that what you're hinting at? Like Chung said, hey, I'm probably not going to play this year.
I think the sea change has come over the past couple weeks with sports restarting, people in baseball getting it. I think, like I said this week, I don't know if this really registered with the morning crew or not, but I think once E-Rod developed that heart condition, now it doesn't seem like it'll be that bad, thank goodness, knock on wood, and maybe he'll be back in a few weeks in rare form.
We've heard nothing.
I know. We're operating in a bubble of ignorance on this one right now. But I think that may have rattled a couple of cages. Like, oh, wait a second. A healthy 25-year-old man now has this weird heart condition? You know what, Coach? I'll play next year.
And you see what Bradford's like now after having the myocarditis or whatever it is.
Bradford looks like he looked inside the Ark of the Covenant.
Ralph and Cranston first up here on Laird and Fitzy. Hi, Ralphie.
Ralph, hey.
Guys, you know, I'm laying in a pool talking to two intelligent sports guys on the radio. Yeah. See, I'm weird. I appreciate everything about this country. I guess I'm a little weird. But anyway, you know, the Patriots, you just mentioned it. I mean, it's always been next guy up for the Patriots. Chung, he's done. You'll never see him again. I think they replaced him with the kid Williams because he's the same type of player. And hopefully
Joe Williams.
Oh, yeah. I love the kid. He's a Chung type player. Hightower. I mean, how many games in the last 5 years has he actually played? Last year was the first season where he played most of the games, right? He's getting older. I think if Hightower comes back, and I think he's going to make an excellent coach someday. Everybody says that, his leadership ability. I think they're going to move on from him anyway. Cannon is not a Pro Bowl player, nice player. Belichick will replace him, so I don't think it's going to be devastating. And what you guys said is they got the perfect coach to replace people. I mean, he always does. It's always been the next guy up with Bill Belichick. And I also think, more than most people, that this team is in a transition year. Not many people want to call it that, but I think they're in a transition year. They're getting away, of course, from the great 20 years of Tom Brady, but we're moving on. So it's going to be fun. But I've got to tell you, I don't have a lot of faith in this season going on. I mean, look what's happening to baseball. Football, you're in a huddle with people. You can't wear masks in a huddle. I think you may see this start to spark up when they get real serious with this. And who knows if we're going to have a football season. I wouldn't be shocked if they closed it down at some point. But you know what? We're going to be watching the COVID report as much as we watch the injury report from there on in.
I think it's actually going to...
The weird world we live in.
Ralph, I think it's going to be, and thank you for not only calling in, but living your best life, a life that Ken and I would love to be living, which is floating in a pool.
I appreciate every bit of being in this country. I'm a true American.
you're the best, but I think we will honestly have a COVID report we have to work with, and I appreciate the fact that you're not saying that it's the Patriots that would falter, but rather just football that's hanging in the balance, because while we all want them to go ahead and give it their best try, you know, put their best foot forward and, you know, do it for America, do it for America's game, I just don't see how, no matter how many COVID bubble players you keep and how large your taxi squad is, how one team can't get one guy on the offensive line to catch it. Next thing you know, it's like 19 Patriots this week, or like 21 Vikings. Like, it's just going to happen. We have to be.
They're
we have
all
to
in
expect
it, and we don't know where this is going. We don't know if they're going to close the season down. We don't, look, we're going to give it a shot. And we all have to be realistic, though. No one has ever, in our era, has never, ever had to deal with a pandemic. And if it does close down, we have to understand the safety of this country means everything. And I don't blame a guy like Hightower. He's obviously out there. Even Chung, they made a ton of money. You know, they're thinking of their families. They're older. So people that do that, I mean, I was a little bit more down than some of the basketball players that did it, especially some of the younger ones. But the guy, and I really wasn't a Price fan ever. So when he did it so early, I said, well, you know, whatever. But I wouldn't be shocked if they close this season down. I hope they don't. Thanks for the time, guys.
All right, Ralph. Thanks.
Thank you, Ralph.
I thought that, too, watching the game, even though Weber is highly frustrating to watch, watching the Red Sox, and I don't want them to shut it down. Just getting through 60 games would be enjoyable to see. You get kind of a sense of what your team would have been and what they need to do. And for the Red Sox, it comes out a great year. It's better less than more. I mean, God, it's like perfect. 60 games.
It's an audition. I wouldn't want more than 60 games of this team. No. I'll take the playoffs just for fun and a flyer. But at this point now, like Lou and soon to be Sean McDonough, but Castaigs and Fleming, considering that none of us go out to bars or restaurants anymore, like they're like my friends. Like they're in my house every night. I listen to them every night. I was like, don't take my friends away. I want to hang out with my buddies. Flemball and Castaigs are coming over tonight. Guys, we're going to talk baseball.
All right, we have not gotten to the Celtics. We will do that next. What Marcus Smart said about the officiating after the loss to the Bucks yesterday. That's next on Laird and Fitzy.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
Wish we got a better one, but the excuse was I was late on the charge. They said the replay center said I was late and it was a block, but quite frankly, I think we all know what that was about. Giannis is 6'5", didn't want to get him out. Just we'll call that a spade, and that's just what it is.
There it is, Marcus Smart with the shot at the refs after the Celtics fell to the Bucks in the first of 8 regular season games down the stretch in the Orlando bubble. Laird and Fitzy here with Mike Reese coming up. We'll get back to the Pats talk in a minute. I watched the entire game. You know what got me frustrated were the commercials. I guess I should have been just thankful to have like live sports back on, but I throughout this COVID thing, I've been sitting there watching everything's pre-recorded, Netflix, whatever. It was the first time watching like a live sporting event where I didn't have something to flip to. So I said I'm done. I'm gonna wait till the game's over and watch it and buzz through the commercials. I don't know if you felt that at all. Just
I caught onto the game late.
3 minute commercial.
I watched the second half because.
You're getting out of here with OMF.
Yeah, I finished out OMF, had to go home, deal with the animals. But I didn't mind the commercials and the fact that you couldn't just sort of like zip through the game and whatnot. And I feel like the presentation of the game, I like the fact that they had the big like video wall with Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
So that helped. I for some reason, I felt the broadcast was better. Like Thursday night, I was a little disappointed. I made a point of talking about yesterday how I love the Fox virtual broadcast with the fans and the intuitive crowd sounds and the digital fans. I thought they did a great job with Sox-Mets Thursday night. But basketball, good games Thursday night, but they fell flat in presentation. Last night I felt like there was an uptick in the broadcast, like they're refining their presentation. That said, that game was the biggest load. There is not a racetrack that has more horse crap in it than that game last night, particularly the final 4 minutes of that fourth quarter. If you're a Celtics fan, yes, Jason Tatum needs to shoot better. Yes, you want Kemba Walker's knee to get better. And yes, you cannot expect Marcus Smart to pop for 22 points any given night and go 7-11 shooting. That said, the all-star treatment that Giannis Antetokounmpo got last night when he committed at least 8 fouls. I didn't know. I said after the game, the Celtics, if they want to get equal treatment on the court, they need to start wearing Giannis instead of like, you know, social justice messages on their back end.
Well, the block
was
garbage. But Van Gundy was adamant that it was a block from the start. I don't know if you watched the ESPN telecast of it or the local one, but he said clear block, it's overturned, and he maintained it wasn't even an issue to them. The bigger issue for the ESPN crew was the hit of the groin of Tice.
You mean the nut shot on Tice?
Yeah. Which is obvious. I mean, that should have been. But as they said, Brad Stevens blew a challenge earlier when Wanamaker complained on another foul on Giannis. And so I think they could have challenged that and gotten a personal foul.
But did you see when the ref, this whole new presentation, by the way, when it looks like the ref is going to a betting window because there's the plastic.
Looks like mud at the Saratoga.
The ref goes up and he has to like make his presentation like, there was no malicious intent. No foul on 34. He didn't
hostile act.
No hostile act. Like you've got to be kidding. Like since when? Yeah. Since when did a junk punch, when did a nut shot not register as a hostile act?
Also in the third, there was a goaltending, or was it the fourth? I don't know, late in the second half. Should have been a basket by Gordon Hayward, hung on the rim. Giannis flipped it out of there. No call on a goaltend. First half, they missed an obvious charge. Kemba stepped in and took a charge, no call. So there were others beside this instance. But I guess the last one is up for some debate. But the bottom line is, do you come away thinking they can beat Milwaukee in a seven-game series?
Yes.
Assuming the officiating becomes a little.
Milwaukee should walk away from last night's game
concerned,
feeling like they lost.
Based on Tatum?
Yes.
But Tatum, part of Tatum's numbers were the fact that he couldn't get a shot off in the lane. I mean, he got blocked three or four times. Mm-hmm. So that's an issue that's not going away. I mean, unless he gets smarter, I guess, mm-hmm. and just stays on the arc.
Or can hit it, or can find anything between 15 and 22 feet away, yeah.
Yeah.
He had nothing last
year. Zero.
He looked lost. Also, by the way, Tatum, lose the beard. Doesn't work.
And Kemba played 20 minutes as expected, and mm-hmm. he was good when he was in there, but they need him. I mean, so the knee's a concern.
You need to be able to get 32 out of Kemba.
Yep. And Gordon Hayward is, I guess he's still going to leave, which was the weird thing. In the middle of the, whenever his wife gives birth, he's going to be out for how long? Because he's going to have to
He'll have to re-quarantine.
Re-quarantine, so that ain't good. I don't know. You think they can beat them in a seven-game series based on Giannis is a major problem, whether the refs were in his back pocket or not? I mean, God, is he dominant.
Can I just say this right now? I don't think this is going to fall on deaf ears. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of fans are going to agree with me. My new least favorite person in the NBA is Giannis.
Well, really?
I thought Giannis was likable.
Brother, I thought was unlikable.
I'm like, partly Greek, too. I'm 25% Greek, so I share a little lineage. Hey,
quarter Greek? Yeah, I didn't know. Jeez.
Who?
You.
Me? Yeah.
All
50%
right.
Irish, 25% Greek, and the rest is just salad. So Yasu Giannis, but at the same time, the fact that the NBA is now emboldening this guy to just take seven steps in the lane.
He does take three steps.
Drive his knee. Drive his knee into people's chests like Dwayne Wade. Think that he can, like, after...
All right, but do you think Jordan was the nice guy on the court?
No, but the flexing and the showing off and the prancing and the preening, I'll tell you what, I can't stand Giannis, and I want the Celtics to get a piece of that.
Well, they're not going to. They're not going to beat them. In a seven-game series, forget
it. No, but I want to see a rematch.
Now, Kemba's got to be back for them to have a chance, but they didn't have Bledsoe.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's the problem.
Which is huge.
Yeah. Eric Bledsoe has played some damn good basketball against the Celtics, too.
I don't know. I didn't come away thinking this team is in their class. Now, they also, if you want to rewind the clock for a while, the trade deadline, they picked up no big men as help. Mm-hmm. Did you look at that game and think, all right, if they had traded for Clint Capella or whoever the big man was at the time, that's the difference maker now that they should have done then? I mean, it was Trader Danny.
Is there not an extra Gasol somewhere in the league that they could get their hands on?
God, they go, but then again, maybe they need to go small. I can't say I'm an NBA expert as to how to beat the Bucks. Everybody says, though, Toronto beat them on the arc last year.
Yes, they did.
So maybe that's part of their thinking is just.
But they also had the best player in basketball on their team too. Yes, they beat them on the arc, but they also They had the most versatile player in basketball.
Good
I still think Kawhi's the best all around player.
All right. So if you'd like to weigh in on the Celtics or whether they have a chance to beat the Bucks, feel free 617-779-7937 and the refs, of course. We'll get that back into the mix after we bring Mike Reese on, who you loved the Subway question. Some did not. Either way, Reese, I think, will have some good insight on the opt-outs, whether they're done or not, and whether Belichick is he going to sign more guys. We were talking during the break. There are plenty of sort of quote-unquote name players still unsigned out there.
You could
which
build
could make an impact.
Ken, I truly believe with that, and I have the list up, and we can get into it with Mike, or if anyone calls at 617-779-7937. You can field a competent NFL team with the top out of the top 100 free agents that are still available.
All right, will Belichick go that route? We'll talk to Mike Reese next here on Laird and Fitzy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.